Well, it's Tuesday, and this is kind of an interesting day for me, and I will tell you why. Suzanne Bourbonnais is here, and you are from Community Home Support Lanark County. So first and foremost, I'd like to say welcome, Suzanne, to In Focus.
Thank you, Bob.
Yesterday, I did the show here in the studio after returning to the station after quite a while of working at home, and we had Robin Hull from the Alzheimer's Society on the phone with us.
Mm-hmm.
You are my first in-person guest since early March of 2020.
Cool.
It is cool. It's really interesting to be doing one of these interviews, and you know, because I've been doing so many of them over Zoom, which is great because it's really convenient for so many people and so on. But this way, you know, I have to wear pants. You know, I can't wear pajamas and that sort of thing, as so many of us did working from home.
Well, glad to have that influence.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you are. But no, we're very happy to have you here, Suzanne. It has been a while since we've spoken with you about your organization. First and foremost, we'll just, for people who don't know, just give us a rundown. What is Community Home Support Lanark County?
Okay, well, it's a volunteer-based organization, and our main goal is to provide support to seniors and disabled adults living at home, as well as those with life-threatening illness.
Boy, that's a broad statement.
Yeah, it
certainly is. There's so many different things that you do to make that happen. We're going to talk about a few of them in depth here as far as the need for volunteers go. But, I mean, just tell us a little bit about some of the ways that you are helping local seniors.
Okay. Well, we do deliver Meals on Wheels in our area, Merrickville, Smiths Falls, Perth, Lanark, a bit in Carlton Place. We provide medical transportation to those same areas for the people living in those communities, to in-town local drives, as well as to the bigger centers, Ottawa and Kingston, for medical appointments. We have diners clubs, which are just resuming after the pandemic, where seniors can get together and have a meal.
Nice.
Yeah, we have foot care clinics offered by registered nursing staff. And we have the hospice volunteer visiting service, so people living with life-threatening illness can get support by volunteers who can just lend a hand, like literally sit there, make a cup of tea, chat with them.
It could be that simple.
It could be that simple.
Now, we'll get into a little bit more detail, as I said, in just a moment. But first, how did your organization weather the pandemic?
Well, we certainly had to modify virtually everything we did. We had to stop a few things, like we couldn't meet in house for virtually that whole time. So we're just nicely back, for example, the diners clubs meeting in person, just like you, for the first time in just about 3 years, really. Providing drives was a challenge. We had to have the volunteer drivers mask up, as well as the clients. And where we used to carpool, we had to change to just individual drives. Now that people are vaccinated and wearing masks, we can probably put one or two people in the car now, if appropriate. Yeah, we did a lot of Zoom type of calls for our seniors. We played bingo, you know, via Zoom or Mercury or other platforms like that, to keep them, you know, socially stimulated and occupied and feeling like part of a group, because isolation certainly did play a big negative factor during the pandemic. It affected a lot of people's health.
Mm-hmm.
It also affected us. We had many volunteers. We had 170 volunteers before the pandemic. Now we're down slightly because people, you know, aren't feeling quite as safe volunteering, and they want to keep themselves safe from any bugs going around. We also had a few volunteers that were 90 years old that had to retire. They took that. It just happened to coincide with the pandemic.
Yeah.
So we're down volunteers a lot, which really impacts our ability to provide service to the community.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it. And I know a lot of other organizations are feeling the same heat, if you will. And there are many different reasons for that. I'm wondering, out of all that you talked about The way that you had to pivot. I mean, that seems to be the buzzword.
Yes.
Is there anything that you're keeping? Like, because I know for a lot of people, reaching out to isolated seniors through things like Zoom and through other things like that was, it was something that they thought, you know, we can certainly use this to our advantage in the future. Not keep it exclusively, of course, but was there anything that you can see really helping your organization moving forward that you've developed over the past 2.5, almost 3 years?
Okay, well, certainly in-person visiting is key,
Yes.
So we're thankful to be able to return to that somewhat modified, but we're able to do it. Now, Zoom was a very good option. It isn't ideal for people with hearing impairments, or maybe they can't speak as clearly or as loudly as some others, so they didn't fully participate in bingo or trivia, whatever the activity was. But it's good to know we have it should we need it. In terms of keeping, well, I think driving or the transportation program will have to be very cautious for who knows how long.
Yeah.
Have people masked up, vaccinated, socially distanced. We'll have to keep that in place for now going forward.
And let's talk about one of the major reasons why you're here. And this is, of course, looking for those volunteers. As you mentioned, like many other organizations are, you are looking for people to help out. And there's a couple that we wanted to sort of highlight here. And one of them is that transportation. That is a huge, huge thing. I know that having a family member who requires transportation to medical appointments and so on, that they're pretty lucky. They've got this network of friends and so on that can help them. But unfortunately, not everyone is in that boat.
Yeah, that's right, Bob. So we rely on volunteer drivers. They use their vehicles, and they provide a literal helping hand to people to get to and from appointments. They'll give an arm if physically needed to help someone get to, you know, the third floor of the hospital or whatever, wherever there is they are going. They'll get them to their destination safely, and
they do so committedly as well.
They do,
because we know that the people who have volunteered with your organization doing this transportation in the past, they've stuck around for quite a while. Many people enjoy it, and they enjoy doing it because obviously they're giving back, but they build these relationships as well with some of the people that they help.
You bet. We have folks that stop for Tim's coffee on the way to dialysis or whatever, just like clockwork, because it's part of their relationship. It's what they do.
They know they know the order.
Yeah.
You know, they know what to order as they go through those windows. And that is a part that can be so incredibly rewarding. It's not only providing these people who, obviously, they need a ride and you're giving them a big service, but you're providing that companionship.
That's right. And it's a two-way street. Volunteers get as much benefit out of volunteering as the clients as recipients of the service. We volunteer because it makes us feel good. It makes us feel connected to the community. It gives us a reason for being. We've had volunteers that have had losses in their life. For example, they've lost their spouse of 50 years, and they're wondering, oh my gosh, what can I do with myself these days? And we've had several people come forward and end up volunteering for us, and it's a big part of their life now. They give 1 or 2 days a week driving, or they don't hesitate when we call, just let me know and I'll see how I can help out. Just give me a call and I'll see if I'm available.
Yeah.
And flexibility is another great thing about volunteering. A volunteer can say, I don't want to drive to Kingston or Ottawa, but I'd be happy to take seniors to local appointments.
You're happy to get them.
Yeah, we sure are.
Yeah, and people may think too that you're only looking for those longer drives, but you're not, and it's not, you know, it's spread out across the county too, so you could be helping someone in Carleton Place who needs to get to an appointment in Carleton Place.
Yeah, exactly.
Another concern that people have, maybe not concern, but question that they may have, is about the use of the vehicle, because they're using their own vehicle to do this. However, they're reimbursed.
That's right, Bob. With gas prices fluctuating and becoming greater, we've had to adjust to that. So we, at the present time, I guess the reimbursement rate is about 50 cents a kilometer. So, for example, if a volunteer was taking a client who lived in Perth to Kingston, say, KGH, they would be reimbursed $90 round trip to take that client. So they're volunteering the use of their car and their time, but they're not out of pocket expenses. They're not out of pocket at all.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm sure there's some who would do it without the reimbursement too, just because they enjoy doing it so much and they're so dedicated to the community.
That is true. That is true. We do have people that sign back their reimbursement checks to us. If they're in a position to do so, that's wonderful. If they're not, we totally get it.
Yeah.
It costs a lot to run a vehicle.
Absolutely. Another area that you're looking for volunteers is the visiting hospice.
Yeah. So the other part of our mandate is to help those who are living with life-limiting conditions. It could be MS or cancer or a terminal illness. And so volunteers are needed to provide support to these people, and that can be as easy as, you know, having a visit and a cup of tea once a week to just chat. It could be spelling off a caregiver, spending, you know, 2 hours chatting with a client while the wife goes out and runs errands.
Yeah.
Anyway, we do provide training for people who are interested in that service. Yeah, on different conditions and ways to approach and ways to assist. And we're there to help the medical professionals. We're not there to replace them. We're there to help them. Just like a good neighbor.
Yeah.
Just like a good neighbor. It doesn't have to be anything formal than that. All of our volunteer roles do require, we do have an application process, which does include a vulnerable sector check. We want to make sure that we're doing everything to keep our clients safe, and that includes that vulnerable sector check, which, like a lot of things these days, are available online only.
Very easy to do, too.
Yeah.
And just before we let you go here, we do also want people to know that it's not just volunteers that you're looking for as well. You're also looking for paid home help workers too.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that, Bob. Yes, we do have a home help program, which if a senior calls to ask if we could set them up with a worker. The worker can do anything from housekeeping, laundry, washing dishes, washing the floor, that kind of thing. Anything that we would do in our own homes, home helpers can do. And it's paid work. It's contract work. And it's $20 an hour, minimum of 2 hours. And this would be great casual or part-time work for anyone that's just looking for that. Although we do have quite a demand, a person can be as busy as they want to be.
Of course. And again, it's so much, there's so much more to it. It is so much more rewarding than, you know, the money that you make.
Exactly. And you talked about developing those relationships earlier, Bob. So we have home help workers that give an extra half an hour a shift because the sense that the client needs to talk or just enjoys their visit, so they get the housework done and they sit and have a chat. Again, a good neighbor, you know. I should say that the vulnerable sector check that we require volunteers to have, there is no charge for volunteers. Usually it's about $40, but for volunteers there is no fee.
And as you said, you can do it completely online. It is so easy to do now.
Yes.
Yeah, it only takes a few days and you get your answers back.
Mm-hmm.
So. Excellent. Well, Suzanne, if people would like to get some more information, what's the best way for them to go about doing so?
Well, our main office is in Perth. At the 40 Sunset, and our phone number there is 613-267-6400. And we do have a Smiths Falls office as well, located at 2 Gould Street, the old high school.
Mm-hmm.
And you can reach them at 613-283-6745. And the Smiths Falls office handles people, helps clients in Lombardy and Merrickville and those points. Excellent. South, I guess.
Is there a website or anything that people could go to, or they just Google Community Home Support Lanark County? And
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we have Facebook as well. And we really like to chat on the phone, though, because we can really flush out those questions.
I'm a chatter, too, in case you couldn't tell. Excellent. Well, Suzanne, thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate it. Thanks for being my first in-studio guest.
Well, thank you.
Quite a while.
Nice to see you.
It is nice to see you as well. We really appreciate it. Again, thanks for the chat. I know it won't be our last.
Okay, thanks, Bob.
You're very welcome. Suzanne Bourbonnais is our guest. She is with Community Home Support Lanark County. Again, they're looking for volunteers. If you're interested, again, easy way to do it, just Google Community Home Support Lanark County. Or Suzanne, I'm going to bring up one more time, that phone number for Perth is
613-267-6400.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I'm Bob Perreault. Thanks for listening. We will be back again tomorrow with another edition of In Focus when we speak with the Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Lena Lee. You don't want to miss it. We'll talk soon.